I'm Lillian Vasquez with Lifestyles on KVCR. Thanks for listening. On today's show, I've reached into the Lifestyles archives. Today, we'll revisit my interview with author and Emmy Award-winning actress, television veteran, Loretta Swit. Loretta is best known for playing Major Margaret Hot Lips Houlihan on the popular 70s TV series, MASH. She'll talk about her character and share stories about her experience on the show, as well as share her thoughts about each of her co-stars on the series. She was, after all, the only female lead in a cast of all men. And now from the archives, it's my conversation with actress Loretta Swit. Welcome to Lifestyles.
Thank you very much.
Did you plan to be a performer at an early age, or was there other career options you were considering?
I've wanted to be an actress, I think, since the first thought I had in my little pea brain growing up. There was a funny line once, in every American woman's heart, there lies the movie contract. When I was watching a film, I didn't want to be the character. I wanted to be the actor doing that character, doing the hard work that achieves that character. Mm. And I would read books as a kid. I'd hide my books and my lamp under the covers and read all night. And I would do the characters, all the characters in the book that I was reading, men, women, children, animals, whatever. I gave them life and voice. And then during my first drama classes, I found out that I had been rehearsing all my life. My brother, my big brother, whom I adored, when he saw me on stage for the first time, he was backstage hugging me. And he looked at me and said, "You have found your place in life."
Oh, nice. It's time to talk MASH, which was one of my favorite programs in the 70s and 80s. Actress Sally Kellerman played Major Houlihan in the movie. Were you familiar with the movie, and did you know the role when you were applying
never
for the job?
Never saw the movie.
Yeah.
To this day, never saw the movie. Isn't that extraordinary?
Let's talk about Major Houlihan. You were the only lead female in the cast of all men. How was that for you?
Thankfully, the men that you're talking about, all the men who came and went, happened to be great men. They happened to be sort of left-handed feminists, if you will. I mean, they were all very wise, very respectful. Dear Harry Morgan, we were at a Q&A,
right,
or something like that. I said something to the effect that the men on the show always related to me as an equal, you know? Mm. And Harry took the microphone and he said, "I never have. I've always felt you're very superior."
Oh, nice.
I know. It was a big laugh, and so, dear, that's the kind of free-fall attitude we had. You know, we were just such a unit, still are. I mean, notoriously known. We couldn't be closer than real family. So it was a joy to go to work.
Your character evolved over the years, obviously, but in the beginning you were kind of the butt of the joke, and then later you and Frank Burns were part of the one laughing in the joke. You know, you seem to evolve over the years.
I not seem to, absolutely.
Yeah.
Did. Yes. I played a big part in the evolution, as did dear Larry Gelbart, because in the beginning I didn't really like the way the character was getting developed.
Oh.
Not that I didn't like it. I mean, it certainly was amusing, funny, but it wasn't quite what I had in mind when I took on the role of a head nurse that was going to be, in my opinion, a role model for young women out there. And funnily enough, I don't get as many letters saying, "Because of you, I became an actress." I get letters saying, "Because of you, I became a nurse."
Nice.
So I didn't want to be less than. I wanted to be a great head nurse. So I like made my announcement. "I want Margaret to be the best damn nurse in Korea." And everybody goes, "Oh, okay," you know. But I felt to keep accepting the non-growth of the relationship between Houlihan and Burns was demeaning to her. It was a relationship that was never going to go anywhere. He was married.
Right.
That in itself was less than. She deserved better than. and he was inept as a doctor, and they kept writing him sillier and sillier while they were writing me brighter and brighter. Mm. And so we finally had to sit down, and I said, I can't do both. So we had this wonderful conference on the phone. I was in New York doing a play, and all the guys, my guys, said, how do you see where she's going this coming season? I said, why don't you send her to Tokyo for some R&R? Why can't she meet somebody, not a doctor, but somebody who outranks her, somebody who outranks Frank? And she falls in love, and she brings him back to the 4077th, and she gets engaged. She's in love, and it's, you know, wonderful, healthy. It's healthy. So we did all the things that we talked about. The Gene Reynolds said to me, well, what happens after that? And I said, she gets married, and Harry gives me away. Mm. And he said, but that's so permanent. And I said, Gene, excuse me, are you divorced? He said, yes. I said, no, Gene. I said, there's nothing, unfortunately, there's nothing permanent about marriage. So we did all that. We found out that he was indelicate, let's say. You know, we found out that he cheated on her, mm-hmm. and again gave her an opportunity to say, wait a minute, this is not that kind of a chain of command with me in chains and you in command. That's not going to work.
Right.
So again, she just kept on growing. But, you know, I had the writers. Oh, my. I had the words. You can't do it without the words.
You know, that's so true. One of the things I want to comment is, you know, Margaret Hulin was really a badass. I mean, she was, right? And in one of the...
Strong. Because she was a top-head nurse.
Yes.
And let me tell you, you better be that in Korea. You better be that at the front. You better take care of your nurses. And if that means yelling at them to do this or that or discipline, yes.
And I guess that's what I'm saying as badass. I mean, she held her ground. She knew she was a great head nurse. She knew what she was doing. She was leading her women. She was serving the physicians. You know, there was one episode that I really loved, and I remember it well, and I remember tearing up when I watched it, and that was one of my favorite episodes. I call it the nurse speech, but that one part where she says, you never even asked me to join you for a lousy cup of coffee.
Last night was just another joke, just another lie to Major Hulahan.
How can we be honest with you? You're like a cat waiting for the mice to make a mistake so you can pounce.
Let's face it, Major, you don't trust us.
And do you trust me? You act like I'm the enemy.
All right. If I had asked your permission last night, what would you have done?
I would have said no.
See?
Not because it's against regulations, but because of the rotten way you've treated me.
The way we've treated you? What are you talking about?
Did you ever show me any kind of friendship? Ask my help with a personal problem? Include me in one of your little bull sessions? Can you imagine what it feels like to walk by this tent and hear you laughing and know I'm not welcome? Did you ever once ever offer me a lousy cup of coffee?
We didn't think you'd accept.
Well, you were wrong.
It became a very famous scene because it was a revelation for the audience, for the character. It was a breakthrough for the character to show the audience how vulnerable being in charge is. And sometimes you have to take the fall, you know, mm-hmm. and you can't care about that. You have to care about doing what's right, what's safe, what's good, what's protective, what's army, what's discipline. And don't forget, she was a product of that environment. Added to which, she was an only child
right.
of the female persuasion. Her father was a general, and all her life she had to try to be the little boy he never had. She had to be the soldier he would have preferred. So she had a double whammy, everything to prove. She had everything to prove, and she was driven by that.
Let me reintroduce our guest is Emmy Award-winning actress Loretta Swit. One of the things I loved about the series is that when somebody left, like McLean Stevenson or Wayne Rogers, Trapper John, left early, they came in with a replacement, and I'm like, there's no way they're going to be better.
They
but
didn't.
they were strong replacements.
They never, not one person was ever replaced. Our theory being you couldn't replace those people.
Right.
They were one of a kind genius. What they did was bringing a whole new note to an already well-orchestrated piece of music. Suddenly, where you had clarinets playing, they brought in the strings, and then a cymbal crash. So what happened was, it was like an intravenous shot in the arm for all of us, because we were now reacting, first of all, to a different commander, to react to McLane Stevenson, Colonel Blake, in the same way as we've reacted to a 30-year man and our darling Harry Morgan. It's totally different. They bring out different things in your character.
Sure.
That you couldn't have played with Henry Blake. And Harry Morgan, of course, if you had to take a vote even today, who's your favorite character? Yeah, we love it. Yeah, we know we love each other, but everybody would say Harry.
Really?
We love that man. Oh, God. He was the most precious, priceless man. And he was everything to everybody. He was so many things to me. I mean, he was my dearest friend. He was my father figure. He was my confessor, my compatriot, my colleague. He wore so many hats.
I'm wondering if I can indulge you a little more time and ask you if you can give one or two comments about, I'm going to go through the list, Wayne Rogers as Trapper John. Any comments, anything you want to say?
Oh, God, I love Wayne. We're very close friends. He's my business manager. Wayne, we had this theory about why we got so close that first season. When we started shooting the pilot, it was freezing. I mean freezing. And the boys were in their Hawaiian shirts. Mm. And the choppers whirling around and we're freezing. So Wayne and I and Alan and, you know, whoever, were huddling. And you can't huddle that closely and not become close friends, which is what happened. But it was so cold. I remember Wayne's nose was dripping and it was turning blue.
What about McLane Stevenson? He is also passed. Tell me about Colonel Henry Blake.
Mac was truthfully one of the funniest human beings in the world. I used to accuse him daily for giving me laugh lines that shouldn't be there. You know, I've been giving me wrinkles before my time. He was the first of us to win a major award, and it was the Golden Globe. Mm. And he called me and he asked me if I would accept it for him. It gave a whole new bend to accepting an award, because you're up there able to say wonderful things about the guy that you're accepting the award for, whereas if he's there, he can't say, yeah, I'm really so great, I deserve it.
Yeah, good point, yeah.
But it's true, and I was able to say, oh boy, you did the right thing here, because this guy is so wonderful and brilliant and terrific and so forth and so on.
Let me ask about Larry Linville as Frank Burns, who we've also lost. Yeah.
Dear Larry Linville, well, of course, I knew that Larry had cancer, and I mean, we confided in each other, and Larry and I were very close, because for two and a half seasons, we were working together separately almost from the group all the time. He was very funny, very sweet to work with. He had an extraordinary ability of learning lines. They would write him pages of dialogue, and he would be letter perfect. He would know where the commas
went. Wow.
And Larry was a Shakespearean actor, you know. So I was working with these classy, classy people.
Talk to me about David, who then came in and as Charles Winchester III, who we've also lost.
Charles Emerson was.
Excuse me.
Yes,
thank you.
I know. Again, David told all of us that he was dying. Mm. He kept us abreast of the different things they were trying and so forth. So we were with him on all of this. Again, you know, we're family. David and I had a very unique and special relationship. In a short story about our relationship, in Goodbye, Farewell, and Amen,
yes,
his character gives me a book. Mm-hmm. I've been yelling at him during the episode. Didn't I loan it to you? You gave it to me. Anyway, we had all of that going on. And before that, I used to tease David that unless I heard from him, I had no way to contact him. nobody had his phone number.
Right.
Nobody had his personal phone number. It was a thing with him. Also, David didn't drive cars. So during the season, I would tease him. You know, if I said, what if I wanted to invite you to a party or something? He would do Emmis and Winchester. He would say, well, I probably wouldn't go. Mm. You know, so it was a big tease. Comes the shooting, and we're doing the scene in which he returns the book to me. He gives the book to me.
Yep.
He comes to me in the finale to say goodbye, and he gives me the book, which is touching enough. But in the scene, I open the book, and David had written his phone number inside the book.
Oh, how touching.
And thank God. I was going to be touched no matter what because of the gesture of giving me the book. But when I saw the phone number, it was appropriate. I nearly lost it. And then finally, after the world's longest kiss on celluloid with Alan, I get into the Jeep and I turn back and David and I eyeball and he puts his hand over his heart to say goodbye, and a lot of stuff you can't rehearse.
Right. After a quick break, Loretta will share more stories about her co-stars on MASH. Up next, it's her thoughts about actor William Christopher, who played the role of Father Mulcahy. You're listening to Lifestyles. I'm Lillian Vasquez, and we'll be right back. If you're just joining us, I'm speaking to actress Loretta Swit, who played Major Margaret Hot Lips Houlihan on the TV series MASH in the 70s and early 80s. Let me ask you about William Christopher, Father Mulcahy.
I used to tell Bill that I felt he brought people back to the church. I mean, that man, he was the kind of priest you want to have. I mean, he was so beautiful. He was so human. He played it so well. He was one in a million. Thank God he was with us all
the whole time. All of the men that I've named so far have passed, but I want to talk about some of them that are still with us, and one of them is Gary Berkoff as Radar O'Reilly.
Gary, he's such a wonderful artist. Oh, my God. Hmm. And he's such a wonderful musician. He plays a mean drum, and you'll have to understand, the audience was looking at him like this little kid from Ottumwa. Is the baby kid. He sleeps with a teddy bear. And you bought it. I bought it. To me, he was this little boy. And then at rehearsal, you have to remind yourself when he was talking about his family and his kids. Wait a minute. It was just a remarkable acting feat.
Jamie Farr.
Jamie is one of the slickest, most beautiful dressers I've ever seen. He spends his time in his career, cross-dressing. He's trying to get out of the army. He's in Cleopatra outfits and Scarlett O'Hara's. I mean, yeah, but please. And my mother said to me once, Jamie is my favorite guy on the show. And
really?
I said, you mean next to your daughter? No, he's my favorite. I said, Jamie, my family loves you. He is the sweetest, dearest guy. My mom was at the motion picture home for the last few years of her life. Mm. And Jamie, who didn't live too far away, would go and visit her and not necessarily even mention it to me or tell me he was going to do it. He would just
do it
because that's Jamie.
Let me ask about, and I really enjoy this character as well, is Mike Farrell, B.J. Honeycutt.
Mike calls me sis, and I call him bro. And when he came into the MASH arena, and he has said this publicly, he's coming into an incredibly successful series. And if he can't hold his own, he's going to go down in history as the man who sank the Titanic. You know, he said, do you know how frightening that was?
And he held his own so well.
He carved his place and fit into that, the cog in the wheel that I'm always referring to, that we are. You've left Alan for last.
I have. But I want to mention this. I have left Alan for last. Thank you for noticing. Here's the thing. I loved Alan Alda on the series. I loved the series. But Alan's role, sometimes it seemed that he was getting so many more lines and getting bigger. I am not putting him down. I adored him. But I just always felt like, okay, is everybody getting the same amount of lines that Alan was getting? Because I thought, because you had such a full company, that so many others could support it, that Alan didn't have to carry it all. Am I wrong in that?
Well, first of all, I don't think he carried it. You can't do that if you have all those people in a show.
Okay.
There was a show that was written for Alan, a solo flight, where he has amnesia because I think the Jeep turned over or whatever it was. So he's virtually alone carrying the entire show. But the way MASH was written, if you break it down, there were always at least two stories going on,
right?
Sometimes three. There was a whole life in that camp going on. We, as a group of actors, never counted how many lines or scenes we had. We were the 4077. But back to Alan, I think Alan and his role of Pierce was very much the take charge leader. He was the one who came up with the ideas.
Let me talk about the farewell episode. How was it for you the week you were shooting that, knowing that the series was coming to an end?
I was very emotional. Words cannot explain how emotional it was. We always were very loving and hugging and kissing. And, you know, so that last week or two, I felt we kept to ourselves a little more. Mm. The last day has been recorded on film because there's no way words could explain the masses of humanity with cameras. And we were behind those velvet ropes trying to do the last scene and then right over to the commissary to do an immediate, what was your reaction and how do you feel and so forth and so on. When Burt Metcalf, our director of that episode and executive producer at that point, yelled, "That's a wrap."
Oh.
The champagne got popped everywhere and everybody grabbed each other and kissed each other. And, you know, it was surreal. It was hard to grasp at first. You knew, but you weren't really there yet. And you had a few of us going on to do After MASH, clinging to, well, we're not totally through, you know, so they had a little bit of a different grip. But we were all very teary at the Q&A. You can't rap just because somebody says that's a rap.
Right. Are you recognized in other countries?
Oh, sure. You know, what really freaked me out was Egypt. I honestly didn't expect to be recognized in Egypt. And I don't know why. I mean, I don't know. But I thought it was wonderful. But I've also traveled for the show a lot, so I knew that there would be that. Thailand, for example, well, we were still shooting, but oh my, that was fun because they had this big party and there were monitors everywhere and they were running MASH with the Thai language. And I have to tell you, it's a beautiful sing-song language. And they gave Larry Linville a list. Now, I have to tell you, I mean, you're laughing, and you didn't even hear it. I mean, you can't imagine. It was a scream. And of course, I could recognize the episodes and what was being said, and I was shrieking. I mean, honestly.
Where was MASH actually shot? Where was the outdoor area? Were you on the set, or were you back in the hills and somewhere in Southern California?
Can't fly a helicopter on stage 9. The exteriors were shot in Malibu Canyon, which was known then as the Fox Ranch. They did a lot of interesting outdoor films. I think part of the ranch they shot Planet of the Apes. But when I actually went to Korea and saw the mountains that we used for those helicopters to come over.
Oh.
It was like deja vu without having been there before. It was amazing what the producers accomplished.
Let me reintroduce our guest is actress and author Loretta Swit. I keep saying author because you did write a book regarding needlepoint. Is that something you love to do?
I did, but I thought you were referring to my art book, which is still available. I'm working on the second edition.
Tell me about it.
I'm surprised at you because your research is so efficient. The watercolor journey through my activism in the world of animals. So most of the artwork is of animals, but there's writing involved. Each piece has a story, and there's an homage to the MASH cast.
I didn't know you had written this book. I apologize. I was going to ask you, what are you passionate about? And I knew that animals and art were some of your passions.
You just put my book together. Yeah, basically, the book is about animals and art and my passions. Yeah.
Lastly, are there roles you would still like to play? Are there actors you would still like to work with? Or is there something that you would still like to do or that you have in your mind that you'd like to do?
I love the unit on SVU. Their unit, it resembles the love I feel that we had as a family on MASH.
Huh.
I don't see any acting there. And the people are wonderful. And I think Mariska Hargitay is arguably the best actress on television today. She's a remarkable actress. You don't seamless and wonderful. And it's a good show. Good scripts, truthful, honest. That would be something that I would enjoy doing.
Loretta Swit, thank you so much. It's been an honor to speak with you, and I've so enjoyed talking about MASH and your career. Thank you for the time.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. It's been a great visit and lots of fun.
Loretta turned 84 in November, and she currently has a new perfume with proceeds benefiting animals. To learn more about actress Loretta Swit, visit our website at kvcrnews.org/lifestyles and click on today's show. That's our show for this week. To hear any of our past shows, visit our website at kvcrnews.org/lifestyles. You can also find Lifestyles on Facebook and on Instagram. Check us out. Thanks to all who helped to make this show possible, including Sharina Wadd, David Fleming, Sean Houlihan, Natasha Coles, and executive producer Rick Dulock. Our theme music is provided by Ethan Bortnick. Merry Christmas. Join me next week at the same time for Lifestyles with me, Lillian Vasquez. Bye for now.